Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Bella, off.
What do I say? Sit or down or off? Off.
Off. And then she gets off and sits down. Good girl. Thanks for coming, Bella. Thanks for everybody for listening. Hope you're doing well. We are back in action.
For one day.
We are about to hit a crazy, crazy schedule. It's going to be insane. The insanity is unlike anything in recent memory.
Tax season.
Spring. Shows. Reschedulings. The Live From Here radio show. The Come to Papa radio show. A top secret project. There's so much going on. Make sure, please, if you have tickets to any shows, make sure you go to tompapa.com and check out the schedule, because things have been added, things have been removed. Because I'm filming this top secret thing, there is just some stuff that has been moved around a bit. Not too much, but enough where you should go to tompapa.com and check out the tour and figure everything out. A lot of stuff is still in play. A lot of the book events, a lot of everything's pretty much in play.
When does the book start? You have to tell people.
Well, the book is already out for pre-order now. Mm-hmm. Getting great reviews from friends and family. They got sneaky copies. You can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble's, wherever it is that you order that stuff, and you can get it right now. And then the official release is June 5th.
June 5th. That's what you should be saying. That's like New Year's Eve for Tom Papa.
June 5th. Right before Father's Day. A perfect holiday gift for your father.
You have a 10-foot bread that's going to be unveiled on June 5th. There's going to be a parade.
It's going to be sweet. So that's what you got to do. We all got to do it. Sorry for our Patreon listeners, subscribers, we ended up having some last-minute stuff last week and didn't get the extra podcast up. We will do that this week for sure. And that's it.
We'll get some videos up. I got stuff from Tahiti and Hawaii and all that stuff, so I'll put that up on the Patreon to make up for it.
Oh, that's good. How was that crazy trip?
It was, that's the thing, is like, I've been so many places that I can't remember the beginning of it.
Right.
But
you left for, last I saw you, you were going to leave in 2 days for the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, I was flying to Tahiti, and, Papi Te is how you say it.
What'd you call me?
Which is, on St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
Which also, you know, is an 8 or 9 hour flight. Is this a true thing that there's no Wi-Fi over the Pacific Ocean?
There is no Wi-Fi over any ocean.
Really?
Yes. When you fly to Europe or Hawaii or in what you're about to say, to Tahiti, nothing over the ocean.
Why?
I think it's because it's like a reflective surface. Mm-hmm. You're shooting down these rays that from the satellites.
Oh, okay.
And they've got to hit a tower, and then bounce up to the plane. But there's no towers, obviously, out there, and it's just like shooting it off of a mirror.
Oh, okay. Because that was the first thing about an AR flight that you should know, is that there's no Wi-Fi. So,
yeah, that is a long time now to go without Wi-Fi. But did you have a entertainment system? What was the plane like that takes you to Tahiti?
It was Air Tahiti Nui.
Ew.
Which is it's those light blue planes that you always see. It has like the little flower on the side.
Oh yeah,
it's like very pleasant. So yeah. Everything's light blue and has a couple flowers on it, and
that's pretty.
Then it was nice. They gave you you know, those like a blue pair of like plain socks to wear.
Ooh.
And a blindfold and nice. Earplugs and stuff. But it's still like, you know, they give you the old fashioned, they give you the meal, but it's like the old fashioned crappy airplane meal.
Isn't that funny? Every once in a while they break that. Americans start doing that in coach again. All of a sudden, they're like, do you want the chicken lunch? It's like, what?
Yeah.
And then it comes out in that tiny little baby tray with like tiny little sauce on the side and a cookie.
Like you're an astronaut or something?
Yeah. It's so weird to see that again. I'd rather have a snack box. I'd rather spend $5 on a fruit cheese snack box.
Yeah, yeah. It will. By the way, also, no more cheese. I'm done with cheese.
You're off cheese?
So much cheese.
Oh, really?
I can't even get to... I mean, we're like four levels into this trip, but I have to find out where you went. But anyway, so you fly there, and it's, you know, it's Tahiti. You're in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. There's no place close. So, like, we get to the hotel, and there's only, like, one super modern hotel, and... It's beautiful. I have my own like balcony.
Sweet.
All that kind of stuff. It looks like a hotel that like got redone.
Uh huh.
But then they didn't know how to fix anything if it broke, kind of thing.
Right.
And there's only Wi-Fi in the lobby. So I've got no phone service and I've got to go to the lobby to watch porn, which is uncomfortable.
Ooh, you know? No, that's really uncomfortable.
Just kidding. But it was like really slow, even. Just to wait 5 minutes for your emails to load and stuff. It was very frustrating. So,
Terrible. So
you kind of walk down the street and you're not in a tourist area. It's like there's kind of food trucks and they're playing some weird game where they're bouncing a ball. You know, it looks like Foursquare or something.
Yeah.
And attached to the hotel is a gas station. So that's what I love to do is I'll go in and see all the food in there.
Right.
And that's when I sent you the picture. The first thing they had is like a big, huge basket of French baguettes.
Yeah, I saw it. That's right. And you had anticipated that because it was a French colony, I guess.
Yeah, I'd been there before and everyone had like a moped and a backpack with no shirt and flip-flops and a baguette hanging out.
Wait,
the back.
This is your second time there?
Yeah, I went to Bora Bora like 10 years ago.
Oh, I thought this was your first time there. I didn't know you had been there before.
Yeah, once.
Oh.
But this was like I went to I went to three different islands.
Wow.
So this was like the first night we just had to be there for like 2 days to meet like this ship that was going to take us to the rest of the places.
Right.
So we're just like in this hotel, and the guy that's with me is a guy who I was going to tell you this. Guess who he was? He played with Buddy Rich, the Buddy Rich Orchestra, who's kind of like an infamous. Well, no, he's just famous, but like
the greatest drummer of all time, they say.
Right, but they used like his tapes of yelling at people in Seinfeld. Remember,
yeah.
I'm going to show you what it's like. Like all those tapes.
Yeah.
They used like a bunch of lines from like.
They had recorded Buddy Rich when he was the band. He was the famous drummer and band leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to just rip apart everyone that was in the band.
Yeah.
Yell and scream that they were off time. And
like a football coach.
Yeah, but like nasty and abusive. And one day, one of the guys recorded all of it. And all these years later, the tapes were released. And he just sounds like a monster.
Yeah, it's still on YouTube. It's really funny to listen to, like a kid getting yelled at by his dad or something.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
But this guy, he ended up just with him at this hotel, and he played with Buddy Rich as a kid. Like, it was like his parents were in show business. For 4 years, he's the opening act for guess who in Las Vegas?
For 4 years, he is the opening act for Liberace.
Correct.
Nice guess.
So close to Liberace that Liberace gave him his mother's house for $1, sold it to him.
Wow, Liberace's the best.
So the
you
funniest
want my house
thing
for
ever.
$1?
Yeah,
and I'm gonna sell you my house for $1.
So this has happened.
Take it
twice
take
in my
it.
Life. That well, I guess I didn't meet this guy. So this guy's manager is the guy that you played in the movie.
No way.
Yeah.
His manager.
Or was yeah, back then.
Wow. That's a.
It's only happened one other time. There's a guy, Michael McCarthy, who is a writer on Saturday Night Live, and he played Jimmy Brogan in the Late Shift movie. And that's the only time I've met, like, the real guy in.
So Ray Arnett was his manager, too?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, he was there for 4 years. He was pretty.
That's pretty great.
And then.
So, what is. So he's old now.
Yeah.
And you're hanging out with him.
Well, he was also, so this is like maybe, I don't know, must have been late 70s or 80s, he opens for Liberace. Then, he's like one of those guys that plays a ton of instruments.
Right.
So for from 80s.
He's on the show.
He was the other entertainment for this
gotcha.
Thing. So he did like kind of like a whole retrospective, played like different eras of music and stuff.
Gotcha, like
had
a concert.
Band. Right. Yeah, and he was also in Foreigner from 87 to like 91.
Playing what? Keyboards?
I think guitar. Yeah,
really?
He's a guitar player.
So
isn't hilarious. That funny?
So now he's like 80 years old?
No, I mean he's probably 60s. I mean he had some cool stuff like
oh, because he was a kid with Liberace.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
He was pretty
okay.
young.
Okay.
But it was funny that he wanted to, like, he loved playing piano, and he wanted to be Liberace.
Right.
And it was like, how do you become Liberace's opening act? So he, like, basically did everything he could to, like, make people say, you know who you should open for? Like, he had all these crazy.
He had, like, candelabras.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Jackets fancy, and stuff like that.
And a couple boyfriends. Did he see the movie?
He, well, that's the whole thing is like he didn't want to see the movie because he, and I'm not talking out of school, like he really didn't like the, he had all kinds of stories about that Scott guy, the,
oh yeah,
the one that
the Matt, played.
Matt Damon played in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Like that guy stole like money and jewelry from him, like backstage and
really
would tell Liberace about it. And then they would kind of like. Apologize and give it back to him. It's just like crazy stuff.
Oh man. So he didn't want to see it because he had a little bad blood.
Yeah, if, you know, his friend that died, kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And then the guy.
So who, Liberace himself was good to him. He sold him a
yeah,
house for
that's,
a dollar.
That's what was good to hear is like he was actually a really good guy as far as like
yeah.
treating this guy for show business and like. You know, the guy had a wife and kid, and that's why he gave him the house. Because he was like,
right.
you know, you're going to be here for a couple of years, and I don't want you living out of a hotel with a family and that kind of stuff. So,
wow, that's yeah. great.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
That is really interesting. So, wait a minute. Back to, if we can go way back. You go into a gas station, and it's just filled with French baguettes.
Right.
Were they good baguettes?
I didn't try them because...
What? What?
Here's the thing. Well, the picture I sent you was they have them. Here's the thing. I'm sure all the food is great initially.
Uh-huh.
But the way that they store things in an
right.
island, like I even heard somebody say, like the boat comes in on like Monday.
Uh-huh.
So if you're still eating stuff on Sunday, that's like week old stuff. You know what I mean?
Right.
So this stuff is like.
But they could be baking the bread that right there, I would think.
At the gas station?
No, but like, you know, like they don't have to get shipments of bread from Hawaii.
Right. Well, yeah, yeah, that's true. But just like regular food they were talking about. But,
right, right.
But the thing was, they would store this, like, they would have, like, Raid and, like, all these, like, pesticides and stuff. And then they just have the baguettes, like, right next. There's no, like, thinking about, like. Hey, maybe we shouldn't have this stuff here.
Right.
And it's kind of just exposed, so it's like...
Yeah.
I was like, maybe I'll buy one at, like, a real, you know, bakery. But we didn't really... We went down the street, and there was, like, two or three, like, kind of... just, like, you know, open bar kind of taco... places.
Nice.
So we didn't see, like, you know, there wasn't, like, a whole lot to see, like, in that city. Yeah. It was actually a little depressing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that was shut down, and there's a big... There's a big moped, like, at it was, like, midnight, and you just hear all this these sounds, and there's, like, all these teenage kids, they all have mopeds, and they're just, like, going around like they're the Hell's Angels or something.
Yeah, you got to get pretty bored living in a place like that.
Yeah, so I didn't see too much of that island. Then we get on the boat, and then the boat goes to Bora Bora, which was beautiful.
You stay in a hut over the water?
No, I just walked around. It was just there for the day. Mm-hmm. But the coolest one was there's an island called Rangiroa.
Uh-huh.
So you get off and you just start walking, and it's all like dirt roads, and you don't really know where you're going, and you like pass by and you'll see like a couple, like there's a British couple. I was like, hey, what's down there? And they're like, oh, there's a bar.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay. So you just like walk down this dirt road and there's this like mom and pop like bed and breakfast right on the water, and ooh, there's like dolphins in there, and
oh,
there's like
God,
boats going through, and it's that clear blue stuff. And you can just see fish, like, swimming around, like,
jeez,
Finding Nemo. It was just so cool.
Oh, my God.
And they had a big...
How long were you there?
I was just... That was just for a day.
Just for a day.
Yeah, the boat would just stop at all these places for, like, a day, and you just kind of walk around or do whatever. And I ordered lunch, and it was like a... Like, they basically used a whole baguette in like a panini machine and just put chicken on it and like just smushed it. So it was like this flat thing, but it was like 3 feet long.
Oh my God.
And then the last island was this other like really kind of low key island, and it was some kind of weird holiday, and a lot of stuff was closed, and they actually had, there was a basketball court there. There was like, and I ordered lunch there. And I was like, they barbecue something, and I was like, they're like, oh, yeah, it comes with fries. And I was like, oh, okay. So then it comes out, and it's a full baguette again with chicken, and then the fries are inside the sandwich.
Oh, my God.
So that's how they do it.
Did you have good seafood, or did you not eat seafood?
Well, I didn't eat it on the islands, but on the ship, it was like this like super high-end. It was disgusting, Tom. It was like I had a surf and turf sandwich.
Oh my God.
Which was like filet mignon and lobster.
On a sandwich.
On like a ciabatta bread.
Oh God.
And they had so much seafood, it was like you could just go up and order whatever you want. Like,
right.
I took a picture of that big tuna.
Right.
And posted on there. I didn't have this tuna, but it was like this huge thing just with an eyeball bigger than your head just looking at you. But like you just go up to the place and say 2 lobsters and 5 shrimp.
Jeez.
And they just cook it up and give it to
was
you.
Was it a gigantic, one of those gigantic ships?
No, it was pretty big, but it was like a luxury, like everything.
Right.
Like people had butlers in their rooms and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Like that. It was really like,
that would be weird to have in your room and when you're trying to sleep.
Well, no, it's basically like you just have a guy that's on call just for you. Like,
wow.
Usually there's like, you know, if you have a maid at the hotel, she's cleaning all the rooms.
So
like,
when they put you on the boat, did you have a room on the boat?
Yeah, I got this like beautiful balcony.
Wow.
Like they just stock your fridge with like whatever you want. Everything's
Fritos?
Free. Well, just like any kind of water. Gatorade was free at the gym.
So you got lots of Diet Cokes?
I got lots of Diet Cokes. I got lots of... Well, here's the thing. I was eating so bad. Not so bad, but just a lot.
Yeah.
That it made me work out every day that I was on there.
Oh, nice. What'd you do? Run?
Well, the ship is like so... I just didn't feel right on the treadmill.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I did like the elliptical, and then I started doing weights again.
Nice.
Which was good.
That always feels good.
Yeah, so that was like cool, because if you eat that bad, you're just like, I gotta do something. Even though I'm like looking at this beautiful view, it's just like...
Did you meet any... sexy mermaids?
I wish. No. I'm trying to think. Yeah, the The island people looked a little bit more like
hobbits,
like Samoans, like a
oh yeah
NFL linebackers,
very thick, a very sturdy people.
When you have the fries inside the sandwich, Tom, yeah. It's not gonna. But there was the one.
But you know, when in Rome, maybe that's your mermaid is one that walks on the land, who's a little thick, who doesn't have a tail.
NFL linebackers make a lot of money, so. But there was one place where I ate, and it was like this older French lady that you could tell was like very beautiful
in the 40s.
When she was younger, yeah. And she just had, it was her place. It was called Danielle's or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And she was just kind of there and looking kind of elegant, you know.
How old was she now?
Probably late 60s.
Nice. That's still go time.
But it's like, but you always wonder, like, how did this lady get there? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In the middle of this island. But she had this, like, everything seemed very primitive, but
James Bond probably dropped her off.
Yeah. But then you go to pay, and, like, you go in her office and pay, and it's basically just like coming into your office here. Like, everything's air-conditioned and Wi-Fi, and, like, so she's got all that
all
stuff.
She's all macked out.
But
so you have to go pay your bill just with her alone? That's when you should have made your move.
Yeah.
You close the little ship door.
Stole
and
her
like,
money.
All right, this costs
Well, this is like on one of the islands.
$50, so what's the exchange rate?
Polynesian francs.
What's the exchange rate?
Yeah.
In sex money.
Can I work it off?
If you found out that she was worth millions of dollars, and that you could live there without ever having to work again, but you have to be her lover. An elegant woman, you say, in her late 60s.
But she was also French.
And which, French.
But so that takes...
And she's like, Paul, no go.
A little
no go, Paul.
Kind of sexy, but you could tell day to day she's a little tough to deal with.
A little
maybe.
Cigar in her mouth once in a while.
Below or a little above doing chores and things around the house, maybe.
Right.
Go make it yourself. Take out the garbage, Tom.
I think that's a deal you take.
Yeah.
You're like Scott in the Liberace movie to this French woman, and you have to live on the island, but you live there forever for free.
But I honestly think that that's probably, imagine that this happened, that she met some super old rich guy as a young girl visiting
right.
this island.
Now,
then she takes over, and then she's going to get another young guy, and then the cycle just continues that way.
This sounds like you should have jumped on it. It sounds like you should have walked in there in a little... one of those Tahitian robes, and said, I am ready to keep this party going.
Oh, I was, but one day was enough, though. I get bored really quick.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember one time I was in Hawaii, and I picked up a hitchhiker, and his car had broken down, and he's holding like a distributor cap with wires coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled over and picked him up, and I said, you know, it must be amazing to live here in Hawaii. And he's like all covered in grease. And he's like, after the first couple of months, it's just, you know, regular life in paradise. Because today isn't my best day. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, you forget. Like once you have to just start living and paying bills and stuff, it kind of, you know, you're better off leaving those some places to vacations, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, people say that about here, you know.
Yeah.
Hollywood Boulevard is littered with homeless people that don't understand why everything's not perfect because it's sunny. And they're just like, it's
yeah.
sunny and I'm still homeless. How come that can't be?
Yeah. My family was just here from New Jersey.
Oh, nice.
And my sister and her husband and their kids and... it was a great time. They had a great time being here and stuff, but it's just like, you know, they look at this place like, you know, like it's a resort.
Right.
Like, I can't believe it's sunny and there's a palm tree and they just, after coming out of New Jersey where there's still snowing, they flew back last night and landed and it was snowing.
Yeah, opening day was snowed out.
Snowed out at Yankee Stadium. Ridiculous. They're playing now in their
Frostbite. Somebody left for Frostbite.
It looks like why does it say that there's three runs in the sixth? So far, they're winning. I know. You know, we never miss opening day. We missed it this year because it was the day after Easter. And thank God we didn't make any plans to go.
Yeah,
we've been sitting in a hotel in the snow. And then going out today, people are sitting in garbage bags just being snowed on there. Terrible. That doesn't happen in Tahiti.
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing was, so it's like you go from all those beautiful islands and beach and you're seeing the ocean every day. And then I go to Hilo for like one day, the big island, where you were, right?
Yes.
Do you remember where you stayed, like near the airport or where you...
No, by that giant Hilton hotel.
Okay.
Terrible place.
I was in this place, which I was exhausted. So basically they got me a room so I could sleep until my flight like that night. And I took like a red eye home.
Why were you so tired?
Just because it was like...
It's a whirlwind?
Yeah, just 10 days of just being, doing all this stuff, and then
10 days, how many shows?
Two. First day and the last day.
and you're exhausted.
Well, it was mostly just the traveling.
Yeah.
So I just didn't, like, when you take a 10 o'clock flight from Hawaii and you land at 7 in the morning in L.A.
Right.
In time to sit in traffic for 2 hours before you get home.
Yeah, that's right.
I was just like, I'm going to be exhausted.
Yeah.
But then you open up, you know, the lady says, oh, there's a Mary Mermaid dance competition. It's the biggest thing in the Big Island. So it's like all these hula dancers coming in.
What?
And then you go to your room. And I opened it up, and I was like, hey, there's like an island out there. And she said, that's Coconut Island. It's a healing island.
Whoa.
If you swim out there, everything you have will be cured.
Jeez.
And then I was like, so I closed that, and I was like, you know, I'm just going to go eat, and then I'll sleep. So I go outside, start walking, and I see trees that I've never seen before in my life. Like,
really?
Just almost out of like the Wizard of Oz, like they look like people. Just
you
weird
really
things dropping down, and I was like, I looked it up, and I just kept seeing all these names, like Babe Ruth, like Amelia Earhart, like all these. They're naming all these trees, so I looked it up, and they're banyan trees, which are Indian. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah, yeah.
So these things are
crazy. They go long. Branches that actually grow down into the ground.
Yeah,
into the
ground.
Yeah.
It looks like almost like a spider web. But
yeah, like roots coming off of the... Yeah.
It's crazy. So these were all planted in the 30s for President Roosevelt was going to visit, so they wanted to have something cool. So just on this one street that I was staying is called Banyan Drive.
Oh.
And all these people actually planted... Amelia Earhart actually planted this tree. Babe Ruth planted this tree.
Wow. Like, super cool.
Yeah.
So wait, you swam to this island?
No, this was just on the street. The island was just outside.
Ah, okay.
So anywhere I look was like cool stuff that I should do something, but then I wanted to
sleep.
But
you're exhausted because you had two shows a week ago.
But isn't that funny when you're like, most of the time you're in like a super boring place and you want to do stuff, and then this is like you're just bombarded with like hula girls and islands and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Just there for a day.
Yeah, and I want to go back now to Hilo. I
want to go
see
the mermaid
stuff.
Thing. Did you see any of the parade?
No, I didn't see. It's like a dance competition.
You could have found your mermaid there.
I know.
Jeez.
And then
it's like missed opportunities.
Hang out with Willie Nelson and Woody Harrelson. And
did you smoke marijuana when you were on these islands?
Oh, no. I think it's still like a not... Like, I think they still look at it as like a drug in those places, right?
In Hawaii? Or in Tahiti?
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think... I don't know what the status is, but yeah, I don't think they're legal.
I mean, I think the locals do it, but like anything with like the cops or like flying somewhere, I don't think it's like...
No, you have to be careful. My Jersey nephews were so excited to be in the land of free marijuana, of legal marijuana. they went to the shops and just, they didn't even like really buy stuff. They just wanted to be able to go buy stuff.
Yeah. I think that's what they needed. They need to just be hit over the head that it's like not, it's not like a forbidden thing anymore. And then maybe the,
once the tax revenues start coming in, like it changed Colorado and they just started like, you know, you all of a sudden are working on a surplus because you've got so much pot tax money.
Right.
Everybody will be like, yeah, this kind of makes sense.
No, but I think like even your daughters growing up around it always being legal here, I don't think it's as like as a, you know.
No, I mean, but there still is that danger of kids smoking it too young. That's
right, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if it's around more, it's just easier to get. You don't want, you know, I think, I don't think kids at any age should smoke it because your brain's still developing.
Yeah.
Then you kind of stunt it and you end up, you know, working in a toll booth for the rest of your life. So that's the only thing that I kind of hesitate. It's not like people are crashing their cars in it because it's not like they're safer driving than being drunk.
Right.
You know, even if you're not supposed to smoke and drive, but when people do, it's not going to be as bad as drinking.
Yeah, but it's still bad.
It's still bad, but they're just putting along.
They just stand at a stoplight for 10 minutes.
I'm not saying it's great for society, but it's going to gum up the works a little bit. But, you know, they also look at it a little like it's stupid, like you said, because it is everywhere. Like anything you see, like other people, especially grown-ups doing, you're like, ugh. There's a place here that sells weed, and it has this fake grass on the outside of the building. It almost looks like a lawn, not like
that. Yeah.
And they rake it to make it look nice, you know? Uh-huh. And my kids just crack up whenever they catch the guy out there, like a hippie guy with a rake, just raking the thing. It looks like the biggest stoner activity.
Yeah, it's like almost when you're in any of those like kind of spring break places where you go eat and they're like, 9 margaritas for $5.
Yeah.
Get a bucket of beers.
Right,
and it's
exactly.
Like, who's drinking a bucket of beers?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. What was it? There was a... at Casa Vega, this Mexican place here, they have bottomless Bloody Marys for brunch. It's like, oh my God.
You want to peel people out of here?
I don't want to be there. I don't want to be around people that are partaking in that bottomless margarita.
Oh my God.
Ugly. Well, that sounds like a successful trip. It sounds pretty good. And then you came back and went right down to San Diego and did more shows.
Well, that was the thing, is that the only day that I, you know, I got home from that red eye and I texted you, like, when I finally got home, I was like,
yeah,
I'm probably going to sleep all day, but if you want to do something at, like, in the afternoon, let me know. And then you were at the beach.
Yeah, I was at the beach in Malibu and 20 feet away from whales.
Oh, cool.
Big gray whales.
You saw them?
Yeah, right there, like where the dolphins normally
are. That's awesome.
Just breaching and rolling along, and they were, you know, they're migrating north now.
Mm-hmm.
They do it like ducks. And, they were just heading up north, and we saw dolphins and whales, and then we ate fried calamari.
Did you pick, like, a specific beach, or is it part of a tour or something?
We were at Point Doom.
Yeah, I mean, I've been up there, but I don't know
that beach.
What to see up there. But your friends all have, remember they were talking about there's a campground up there and all that kind of stuff. I don't know where any of that stuff is.
Yeah, but now this is just get some chairs and bring the family from New Jersey and sit on the beach.
Okay.
And just sit in the sand. It was a beautiful day, and we were all together, and you got to watch some whales, which is amazing. And it was a cool trip because... they got us out doing stuff, and I had been on the road for a long time, so it was like, let's just spend some time with the family and unplug from, I still have to write every day, but just unplug from Stand Up at Night.
Yeah.
And we went to this Huntington Library, which is this botanical gardens like near Pasadena.
Oh, okay.
San Remo, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Or San Marin. And gorgeous, like grounds, like with cactus gardens and amazing vegetation everywhere. And then they have these libraries where they have like the original like first volume of the Canterbury Tales.
Oh, cool.
And letters from Lincoln and all this really cool stuff. You can come and see these books and really, really amazing. And so we did that. We did Malibu. Then we went up to the Getty Museum.
Oh, okay.
Another beautiful spot.
It's good. That's the one to do when people come in town because you're like, you haven't been there in a couple of years and it's
exactly
all different.
Yeah, it was all a bunch of stuff I haven't done in 10 years. Like, I think the last time I was at the Getty, my daughter was so small I had to stand outside with her.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was misbehaving. And, yeah, so it was good. So we got to be, you know, whenever you turn into a tourist in your own town, it's a good thing to do. And then Easter came. I cooked a huge meal for Easter.
Oh, yeah?
I was baking bread like crazy.
I was working, Tom.
I can't believe you worked on Easter.
Every day. They got me working like a dog. That's why I was going to retire.
Do people come to an Easter show?
Some. But it's also, not only is it Easter, it's Passover, too, which Jewish people, I don't think, are allowed to do anything. Like, they're not even allowed to leave the house, I don't think.
Who so isn't?
Jewish people, right?
Oh, Passover. I don't know if they get trapped them in the house or not.
What's the one where they can't use the buttons in the elevator? The
Shabbos. That's the Amish.
No. You never heard about those buttons? Because they can't actually touch the buttons. So, like, they have the buttons that it just stops at every floor, so you don't have to push the button.
Right.
Because you're not allowed to do anything electric or I forget what it is.
Yeah.
Ari told me about it once. But
I went to church on Easter.
Did you?
Yeah. I did a little... My youngest wanted to go to church. My wife and daughter weren't into it. And I had that joke about going to church?
Yeah, I was going to say, you needed a new bit.
That was written when my daughter was like six, and we went to Easter Mass together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hilarious because she went in as a, you know, got all dressed up, and we went to church together, and it was the scariest thing she ever saw.
Right.
And I did that bit, which was on... Freaked Out special, and loved it. It was a great bit. It was fun to do. And then I, you know, put it on the special. I don't really do it anymore. So fast forward all these years later, and she is the one saying, let's go to church.
Oh, that's funny.
So I was like, yeah, I'll go. I like going to church. So we got dressed up and went, and it was very nice.
Which one do you go to if you...
St. Francis Assisi.
Is it on this side, or is it...
Yeah, right over here.
Okay.
Off Moore Park. I just wanted to let you know, I just watched the Yankees give up a 4-1 lead, and now it's 4-4.
Oh, jeez.
And it's dark and cold in New York, and I got to go there tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Son of a hoo-ha. So it was really nice. I saw Jamie Kaler, the comedian. I saw him there.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter saw a bunch of her friends there. I saw my friend Jimmy from this shop down the street. There is that sense of when you stop going to these kind of things, you kind of lose a sense of community, which we're all craving, like endless articles on, you know, we've torn down almost every institution and now we're just left alone and we're isolated. There's no real sense of community when you tear down the church and you don't participate in the community and activities and not just the church, but, you know, city council, these different things. And we kind of learn too much about them, and then we're like, ah, they're stupid.
You find something wrong with it.
Yeah, because there's something wrong with everything. And so it was kind of nice. Like, you're walking in there, and you see all the people from your life and different parts of your life, and they're all there and doing their thing. And everybody just, you know, taking an hour out of your week, listening to some Mozart and some good singing, and people being nice to each other. It was a good thing.
That Jamie Kaler guy is the guy who told me this story about how Ed Asner, like, came to his house once.
Right.
Because he thought that's where his secretary lived or something.
What was that story again?
I forget. He ended up, like, getting a picture taken with him and stuff like that. But he, like, it's just funny that he was, like, a huge Ed Asner, like, a Mary Tyler Moore fan. And, like, Ed Asner just shows up at his house.
Looking for a friend.
And it's like, that's a Hollywood story. Like, I moved here, like... famous people come to see you.
I had the first house I bought in L.A. was in Studio City. It was this tiny little house, and it was a great place. But it was owned by one of Bob Hope's secretaries.
Oh, right.
It was like one of the original owners. And I always wanted to get a plaque, which I never did, to put on the front door that said, Bob Hope might have dropped someone off here. yeah, so it was nice. It was nice to like see a bunch of people there.
That's good. Did you do any other... you know what I did when I was on the boat was they had this crazy DVD library. So I got like all these movies from like the 60s and 70s. Yeah? So I watched The Hustler.
Nice.
With Paul Newman and
Jackie Gleason.
Jackie Gleason.
Great pool movie. Shooting pool.
That's dark, man.
Oh, come on, Fats. Look at you. Just up, powdered like a baby. Like a baby. Isn't he beautiful? Yeah, Paul Newman is a wreck in that movie.
That's like 61. That's an early movie.
Yeah.
It's black and white.
So great.
Long, and but the love story is dark, man. Like that lady.
Yeah.
That's pretty... That was surprising how dark that was for like a... I don't know.
Yeah, it was getting real. It was a dark time, Paul, there in the pool hall.
But that's the only thing the Minnesota Fats... Because you remember that the whole thing was Willie Moscone?
Yeah, Willie Moscone.
So he trained Paul Newman like on all the shots, and it's his hands a lot when they show a lot of the shooting.
Ah.
But... Remember later on, after that kind of made pool famous again,
yeah,
that they would have on ABC, they would have Willie Moscone versus Minnesota Fats.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the real Minnesota Fats. This was just the guy that took the name after the movie came out.
For real?
Yeah. Isn't that messed up?
That's hilarious.
So you thought that guy was like world famous.
Yeah, the Minnesota Fats.
Guy.
I thought Jackie Gleason was playing the guy.
No, it was made up.
Hilarious.
So that guy like had a whole career just based on that movie.
Oh my god.
I was trying to think if that's ever happened before. That like, oh well, David Copperfield did that too.
Oh right? Yeah. Sure.
How is that fair to just take that name? I guess nobody mistakes him for like a literary character, but
this podcast is going to be renamed Come to Einstein.
Why? We're trying to
I'm gonna take Einstein's name. Isn't it, don't you think, now do you cosmically think there is anything to the coincidence of Stephen Hawking being born on Galileo's birthday and dying on Einstein's birthday?
Wow.
Do you think cosmically there's any significance to that?
Maybe. I don't rule that kind of stuff out.
Ah, yeah. I believe there's something to it.
That's pretty... Well, did you watch the Shandling thing or no? The documentary?
I'm an episode and a half.
I mean, this doesn't ruin anything, but like the famous story is like he, you know, is in Tucson going to college for... I don't know, some kind of like mechanical something.
Yeah.
And he writes a bunch of comedy sketches and like goes to Phoenix and stalks George Carlin and ends up like finding him eating backstage at this place where he's performing.
Yeah, in a cruddy comedy club.
Yeah, and he gives him all these sketches, and instead of like saying leave, George Carlin's like, all right, we'll come back tomorrow. I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah.
So he drives 2 hours down, 2 hours back, and then he sees all the pages with like notes on it, and George is like, this is really green, but there's something funny on every page, so I think if you're thinking about doing it, you should go for it. And then he moves to LA. Like, that's
it's great.
And that Lenny Bruce is the guy who got George Carlin his record deal. Like, I feel like all that stuff's kind of connected somehow.
Yeah, this one with Hawking's, it almost seems like when I went to the Huntington Library, we're in this library and you're looking at writings from Shakespeare and you're looking at stuff from Lincoln and you're looking at all of these scientific things and you're like, it's such a, there's something to,
there's no tweets in there.
Like you get on the planet and we come from these, you know, from the swamps. And we keep learning more and doing more. And then there's like a huge person like Galileo. And then a huge person like Shakespeare. And then a huge person like Einstein who like really pushes. We're always like struggling and finding and investigating and growing and evolving and pushing thought and pushing achievement forward. Like, why are we doing all that? Like, what is the grand design of all of this?
Yeah.
And those people that kind of that you have those people that have those similarities that are taking one track, like in science, and taking that track. It's just, it really makes you pause, like that there might be something afoot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to articulate it, but what I'm trying to say is Stephen Hawking is an alien who traveled through space-time and in the same way that Einstein did. And now there's probably a new baby out there that's going to be the next one. I don't think it's Neil deGrasse Tyson. I think he's good as a host, but
Elon's close. Elon will find the next person, I think. Did you see I was going to say, I just did read something about Hawking, and he was like on the rowing team in college before he got ALS.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like, you know, if he didn't get this disease, he definitely wouldn't have done the work that he did for mankind, basically. So
yeah,
that does make you think like, wow, even something bad might be happening for a reason.
Have you ever tried to read his book?
No.
Impossible.
Is it really hard?
Impossible. A Brief History of Time.
Mm-hmm.
This is how everybody reads that book.
But he's being sarcastic.
You pick it up.
Brief part.
And you start reading it. And you're like, all right, I'm doing okay. Okay, I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. It's getting weird. It's getting weird. Hanging in there. It's getting weird. I'm out. And then you put it on your shelf and you never see it again. Then there was another woman who wrote a book on quantum physics. So it would be easy for people to read. I don't see it up there right now. And I read a review, so practical, so easy to read. What a great writer, and making it for the regular person. Hanging in there, out. Can't read. I mean, I just can't understand it after a certain point. You're just like, I'm not built for that.
Well, I think that's why we do what we do, because it's like the whole thing is to like take an idea and make it palatable or interesting or... You know what I ended up listening to on the ship, because it was kind of cool that, like, you know, you're kind of on the waves and it's quiet and you can write, you can really dig into, like, I watched The Sting when I was on there.
Nice.
And that was like another really cool old movie to watch.
Paul Newman again.
Yes, that's what I was trying to just see, that his
that guy
from 61
what a movie
to
star.
73. That was 12 years.
Cool Hand Luke.
Yeah.
Well,
it made me want to see Color Money, too, because I don't think I've seen... I don't know if I've ever seen the full movie. Not after watching The Hustler, but...
That's when movie stars were movie stars.
But this is a shout-out to your show. It made me think of... I don't know, just the wording and stuff. I was thinking, and some line from that John Prine song... The one about when he did that whole introduction, he's like, this is about Pluto, how Pluto got jealous when it wasn't a planet anymore,
right.
The love life of an alien, and the history of the world in 4 minutes,
right.
Or something like that.
Yeah,
he's had like a really funny introduction. And the whole show is still online. I couldn't watch any video, but I had strong enough signal to like listen to that show, and I listened to his... 3 or 4 songs, like a handful of times. He's like a genius, that guy.
John Prine?
Yeah.
Yeah, insanely good.
I didn't know.
The level of writing for John Prine is just, it's off the charts.
And I knew nothing about the guy.
I know.
There's
people out there that you've never heard of, and then all of a sudden you tap in and you're like, how did I miss this guy?
Yeah.
My whole life. It's like you find this like buried treasure.
That's what's so cool. And like, but I will say, like, I think he had like a couple notable hits, and he was always known as like a great songwriter.
Yeah.
But like he's, what is he, 80-something? He's had cancer, all this stuff, and he just wrote like 3 of his best songs.
Amazing. Hello in there. You ever hear that one? You got to tap into the old stuff.
Like yeah.
That album with Kris Kristofferson. You heard that story, right? When he was discovered?
Well, he's like a janitor or something?
No.
Or who, John Prine?
Yeah, John Prine. Oh. He was, John Prine was like just banging away, writing songs and stuff. And I forget where they were, like Detroit or something. And Kris Kristofferson was in town. And he came in to see his show. And after his show, came to see Prine. And it was over. He had missed it.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, I really want to hear you play. So John Prine just plays like a concert for him.
Oh, wow.
And as legend has it, he was so blown away that he shepherded him and got him his record deal.
Oh, cool.
And that first album, which has Hello in There and a bunch of other great songs, was that first album, which is just like mind-blowingly good.
Okay,
again, another happy accident.
But also, like, isn't his... They're saying, like, how different his voice is now. Like, he's learned how to sing.
Yeah, because he had, like, throat cancer or something. So he kind of found another way, like a old pitcher that has to throw some other kind of pitch. But, man, the guy can still write in spite of ourselves. Holy cow, it's such an amazing song. But you really should listen to John Prine. The album's called John Prine.
Okay.
My God.
Because Dylan...
Sam Stone.
Dylan was the one that said he's the best songwriter.
Angel from Montgomery.
That's the one I had listened to.
Oh, my God.
The first two that came up.
Quiet Man. Illegal Smile. About smoking weed.
But that...
It's such... I mean, he's such an amazing, amazing writer. So I was... he did Live From Here.
Right.
The show formerly known as Prairie Home Companion. And that I was on, and we were in some city.
New Orleans.
We were in New Orleans. And I was with him in the elevator. And
oh, cool.
They didn't know I was on the show. I didn't go up and introduce myself. This was before. We just were going through rehearsal. Guys, you know, you don't... I don't personally try and get a picture. And so I'm just kind of like stealthily whatever. And I end up... Before the show, in between rehearsal and the show, I end up in an elevator with him and his handlers, a couple people. And they're saying to him, so do you think we should go back should we come get you at like 4:30? The show starts at 5, John. Do you think we should get you at 4:30? And he's like, I don't know. It's not like I'm starting the show or anything. I don't know. Why don't you come get me at 5? Let's see what they look like nervous. I was like, oh, that is a guy that's been around for a long time.
Yeah, no, there's no pregame jitters.
No, not at all. And what's his name? Rory Scovel was on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And Rory had never heard of him either. And he remarked, he said, it's amazing how you cannot know anything about somebody. And halfway through one song, they have you in tears.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just so that powerful.
Well, that was the thing is, like, Rory is probably known as, like, the hip younger person of that show.
Yeah.
But you could just tell that Prine just took the whole show after he did those last two songs.
Well, it's
like, Chris was just like, what a song.
Everyone's great, right? Like, he's great. Everyone's great. I'm great. Chris is great. The whole everyone's great. And then Prine comes out, and it's like, there's great, and then there's legendary.
Yeah, like an 80-year-old guy.
Yeah.
He must have been, was the funny part about that. I mean, you can go listen to it on the site. That's
you can go to livefromhere.org and hear all the old shows.
Yeah, all the audio stuff. I don't think they have video of that, but the audio of the last song, and it's called I Don't Live Here Anyway or something like that.
Yeah.
And the album still isn't out yet. There's only one of those songs that's like on iTunes.
Wow.
So that's why I was listening to it on there, and it sounded like he was reading it. Because it sounded like it was so new. The one about the Pluto thing.
Yeah,
the last one he played, he was kind of like laughing his way through it. And I couldn't tell if he was just laughing at the words or if he was trying to like make sure he said all the words.
Right. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was really funny. You should listen to it again because it was like
yeah.
the last song of the night.
So cool. We're back on the air with Live From Here this week.
And, oh, cool.
I'll be doing my Out in America thing, and I'm not sure exactly who all the guests are. But yeah, we're back after like 3 weeks of vacation. So.
So wait, where are you going? You're going to film something?
I'm going to film something in New York.
Okay.
And then I'm going from New York to New Orleans again.
Oh,
I'm
okay, cool.
I'm going to film down there. And then I'm going back up to, I think, Boston and Atlantic City.
Oh, cool.
And then, yeah, but everything's like shooting for the show, basically. And then I'll be back here.
But where is Live From Here? Is that in?
Live From Here will be in Minnesota.
Oh, it's in Minnesota.
Yeah, so I'm going to call it in from New York.
Oh, okay. That's why I wasn't sure if you were doing that like live. Or
yeah,
not.
No, I'll be live, but from a different city.
Yeah.
It's Live From Here, and I'm live from there. Yeah, but it should be pretty good. Wow, this is a lot of stuff, Paul. We were all over the place, and it's not going to let up. And I have a whole new system, by the way.
Uh-oh.
So we will not skip these podcasts because we will be able to do them remotely.
Oh, cool.
So if you are stuck on a boat somewhere and I am stuck in a cave somewhere, we will still be able to hook it up through Skype.
Okay.
And be able to do it. Yeah, so we should be in good shape from here on in.
Well, I also did, you know, I was in La Jolla, which we didn't talk about, the Comedy Store, which is the old club down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, because we hadn't done it in a while, the Facebook Live, and I did like an Instagram just for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people were like, how come you and Tom don't do the Facebook Live anymore? Because I guess you can,
mm-hmm.
you can, like, if you're on there and like I guess I watch or something, you can click add. And it basically, like, puts your face so we would both be on it, I guess.
Oh.
So we might have to, like, experiment with that.
If only we had a producer, Paul. If only more people would subscribe and we could pay a producer to handle all these details.
But it was kind of cool because it's, like, I think there's a certain segment of people that only watch stuff, like, on Facebook or Instagram,
yes,
or something.
Of course. They should also be up on YouTube. We should be doing everything for the people. That's why we need a producer. Please subscribe and help us pay a producer.
Oh, and also my TV show that I did in Vegas at the Rodeo is,
yes,
airing now.
Nice.
And there was hay on the stage. I could have died at any moment because I have hay fever.
Oh.
But there's a cool director that did some like documentary stuff about when I was like a newscaster and he dug up some footage.
Nice.
So it was,
where can people
cool.
see that?
I think you just go to RideTV.com. It's like a new channel on the Dish Network and DirecTV.
Oh.
I don't have it myself, but you can watch like the whole episode on RideTV.com.
Oh, very cool. Sweetness. My heater died on the pool.
What?
Yep, right before the New Jersey people came. And we knew this was the way it was going to go. I've got these great guys that hooked me up last year.
How could your heater break if you have solar panels, Tom?
We don't have solar panels,
oh,
Paul.
Oh, I see.
So we hooked it up, and we knew we were only going to... They connected it with straws and string and duct tape and old bottle caps to get me through last season. Every time you turned it on, you weren't sure if you were going to get it on. And the kids are like having a party, and... we want to go in the pool, and I'm out there kicking it and trying to get it going. And we got through one season, and this year we had to pull the trigger and buy in a new heater, which was all part of the plan. We knew it was coming.
Oh, so this is a new one.
So we put in a new heater. The guys came, and they cranked it out and stuck one in the first day that my sister was here. And it's a small, round, potbelly stove-looking thing.
Right.
It is so powerful. It's got 400 BTUs, and you just set the thing at 95, and whoa, in no time. It was like a hot tub in there.
Oh, yeah?
I had to lower it because I'll be broke if I keep it up that high. But, holy Toledo, so nice. The peace of mind to just know that you press a button and it actually is going to work.
Yeah.
Woo, what a dream.
All you gotta do is fly my dad out here. He'll build you a solar panel thing that he built in 1984 for our pool. It was 95 every day.
I had solar for my old pool. You need a surface to put that black tubing, basically, where the water goes through, you need a flat surface for it.
Right.
And I don't have that out there.
Oh.
I've just got weird bamboo growing. And
yeah, because your roof is kind of too far away.
Exactly. Oh, but what a relief. But then, in the never-ending saga of home ownership, I was smelling something musty for a little while, and I finally figured out that I thought it was the dog cage, I thought it was this, I thought it was that. We have a little leak up on the roof from those last rainstorms.
Mm-hmm.
Water came into the closet in the little guest area. And I got to rip all that drywall out now and fix the hole in the roof.
Oh, crap. Yeah, these California roofs aren't made for anything.
Nope. So that's why I'm going back out on the road to get some funding to keep this place dry.
I will say my new favorite thing, though, in these kind of exotic places.
Yeah.
Especially in Hawaii, I had the door, like, open air lobby.
Uh-huh.
That's my new favorite thing.
That is great. No,
walk in and everything's just like inside, but it's completely open.
It is amazing. Birds flying through it.
Yeah. That's so cool.
It is super cool. Well, you could do that with your apartment.
Like outdoor escalators. That's my other thing out here.
Just leave the back doors open. Open some windows. Let it fly. You don't have to be in Hawaii to do that. That's the pain in the ass about this stupid leak. It rains for 5 days of the year.
Yeah.
And I got to spend all this money to fix that. Yeah. Son of a... Well, good to see you back, buddy.
Yeah, you too. Good luck with your trip.
When I think for the bonus podcast for the Patreon people, we're going to get to the bottom of why human beings are here and what the hell we're trying to solve.
That sounds easy.
Yeah, that shouldn't be a problem. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. We will be posting more. And I hope you enjoyed the live podcast the live Come to Papa. We got some good response off of that. And we thank you all, as always, for listening. You're the best. Enjoy your life.